Lord God, we do worship you this morning for all the works you've done in our lives. We thank you for the work you've done in these circumstances. But God, above all, we thank you for the mighty work you've done in redeeming us. God, we acknowledge we're sinners, we're not worthy of your love, but you loved us anyways. You've shown us grace, you've shown us mercy, and you've redeemed us. And so for that, we say thank you. God, I pray that you would guide this time, help us to understand you and understand our circumstances in light of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I like the status quo. I like it when things are just smooth, right? It's dependable and life is just kind of in that rhythm where it's just kind of take care of itself, and you almost get lulled into a sleep thinking you're self-sufficient and things are going to be fine and I got this handled. And then something happens, right? You get a notice that you're going to get evicted. You get bad news at the doctor. You have an issue in a relationship that you count on breaks up. Something happens, and life gets flipped upside down. And we would all acknowledge that's a hard time, right, when that happens. Because we, as humans, we crave security. We love security. We love to know that things are going to be fine. We're desperate for it. We're desperate to know that everything's going to be okay. We're desperate to have all the variables removed. We're desperate just to know that there won't be any hard things in life, that it's handled, life is good, and I got this. And so we desperately chase after the things that we think will bring that truth in our lives. The things that we can find security, we give our lives to the things that we think can bring that security to us. Maybe it's a job. We give ourselves to a career because we think if I have that job or that career, then I know that thing is going to provide security for me. And I know no matter what, I'll be okay because I got that job, I got that career, and I'll be fine. Or maybe it's a relationship. Man, as long as I got this relationship, everything else is going to be okay. And we crave and we run after that relationship because we think there's security in that relationship. And we think that because I have this relationship, everything else will just be fine. Even though there's craziness out there, we'll have our okay. And we'll have security because of our relationship. Or maybe for you, and this is it, for most of us, we think, if I just have a big enough savings account, enough money, if I can store away just a little bit to get me through the rainy day, then I know that'll make sure that all the problems will be solved. No matter how bad things get, if I could just have a big enough savings account, enough money in the bank, money will make sure I got no real problems. So if problems comes, money can answer those problems. That's why we buy those lotto tickets. And what those lotto tickets are, it's insurance against insecurity, right? So we can find security. If I can win that, then I know all my problems are solved. But the problem is, none of those things really bring security, right? None of those things really provide that security that we crave and depend on, that security that we want so dearly in our lives. And those things that we give our lives to find security, they're not all that secure. Jobs, your career, people get laid off all the time. Basing their life on their job and their career, they lose that job and then they got nothing, right? Relationships, they crumble. It happens. We've all been there before, right? Relationships crumble. They end. Money, please, here today, gone tomorrow. Money doesn't provide the security that we want so dearly. In this world where all the things that we base our security in, we base our hope in, we depend on and make sure that everything's going to be okay, it's all going to be fine because I got that thing. In this world where all those things, they crumble, they fail, this morning I want to point us to the truth that in a world where all these things are failing, we have one who is not failing. My hope is that we would turn our attention today off of these things that we base our security in, that ultimately will fail, and instead put our attention on the one who does not fail, and that is God on the throne. Amen. So no matter what we face, we can stand strong and secure in the true secure one, our God, as he sits on the throne in heaven. All right, so our central truth today, our main point, this is our central truth this morning. There's fill in the blanks in the bulletin. They're not up there. You guys got to listen, all right? Is that okay? Can the Holy Spirit work without a projector? He's already proven he can this morning, so we're gonna continue in that, all right? And I'll try to help too by restating them, the fill in the blank. So the first central truth, or our main point today, our central truth, first fill in the blank. In uncertain times, when these things that we depend on fail, in uncertain times, set your eyes on our unchanging God. Set your eyes on our unchanging God. In a world where everything is changing and things fail, let us down, even the things we've given our life to, we need to, during that unchanging, or during that those uncertain times, set your eyes on our unchanging God. And so I say in uncertain times, what I really mean is all times. Because whether you know it or not, all times are uncertain. Maybe you're in a season where you've been lulled to sleep and you think it's all good, and I got this, I got money's coming in, the bills are getting paid, I've got this relationship I feel good about, everything's kind of handled, I can take it easy for a little while. All times are uncertain. If you live this life long enough, you know that to be true. So in all times, especially the uncertain times, that's when it's obvious, set your eyes on our unchanging God. Because again, you may be fooled into thinking one of those things that will provide security until that thing that you've been basing your security in gets ripped away. And then you're at a crisis point in life. One of those major turning points, one of those times where you can go to the left or the right and you know the rest of your life is going to change on that decision you make. One of those major crisis points in your life. Because it can be a traumatic thing when that thing that I base my security on gets pulled away. When I get bad news from the doctor and my health gets pulled away. When that relationship breaks up, when that person wrongs me or whatever, and this relationship is hurt, that can be a traumatic thing. When I lose that job, I base my identity and I base my future in, it can be a traumatic thing. When the money I thought would never run out, when it runs out, that can be a traumatic thing. So when life gets turned upside down, how do we handle that? And again, our central truth is today is during those times to set your eyes on our unchanging God. So we're going to look this morning at a passage in the Bible about a guy that gets his life flipped upside down. The thing he bases security in gets ripped away. And in that moment, we're going to see that he gets a vision of God and it changes him forever. By seeing God and understanding who God really is, it changed it all and it changed this man's life forever. We're going through a series called Glimpses of God, where we're looking at different people's encounters with God, and to see how they saw God. In each of these glimpses, we're learning about God. We're learning about who he is and what he's about, in the hopes that we would all gain in our understanding and our vision of who God really is. So today, we're going to look at Isaiah. Isaiah is the guy that we're going to be looking at, and his encounter with God. And you're going to find it in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. So you got a Bible, you can open to that. Excuse me. Isaiah chapter 6, starting at verse 1. There's Bibles, if you don't have one, in the pews there. They're gray, and they say an story of God on them, or Holy Bible, or something. I think they have a tree on them. So you can turn your Bible to that. Isaiah chapter 6, starting at verse 1 is what we're going to be looking at. A little context about who Isaiah is and the time that he lived in. Isaiah lived in about 700 BC, so that's about 700 years before Christ. He lived in the nation of Israel. During this time in the nation of Israel, they had been divided into two kingdoms. That Israel had a little civil war thing, so now there's a north and a south. The south had stayed pretty faithful to God, the north did not, and went into idol worship and all that. Because of that, the brutal Assyrian nation, the Assyrian Empire, rolled in and they conquered the north. So now the north does not exist. There is no more north. Now the Assyrians are ruling up there and they're bad dudes. And so that's what's happened. The north is taken over by the Assyrians. The south are still remaining faithful to God. Isaiah lives in the south. It's called Judah. So he's living in Judah in the south. And during this time, he's got all this craziness going around, but God had made a promise to them. He says, hey, you're going to be my people. You stay faithful to me. I take care of you. I will protect you, I will bless you, and you're going to be my people. You stay faithful to me, and then I'll take care of you guys. And that's what happened. During Isaiah's time, Judah had a long time of prosperity. They had one of the greatest kings of that time in Israel's history, and his name was Uzziah, King Uzziah. And Uzziah served for 52 years. Uzziah was the king of Judah. And Uzziah was a good man. He was a godly man. He followed God, and he was faithful to God. And because of that, God had been blessing Judah. He'd been taking care of them. He'd been blessing them financially. They were very prosperous during their time. He was blessing them with protection. Like, even though the Assyrian Empire was right on their borders, he was protecting them. They never got into Judah. And not only that, but they were expanding. Judah was expanding their borders too. They were becoming kind of a national power. The name was getting out around the other nations. Watch out for Judah. Yet Uzziah, he is a good king, so watch out for him. Like, don't mess with Uzziah. And because of Uzziah and God's blessing, this was a great time in Judah. 52 years, they're growing. They have a big army, 300,000 troops, which is good for them. And they're taking over lands around them. This is a blessed time in Judah. With King Uzziah on the throne, it's all good right now. So that's what's happening, all right? So 52 years, that's a long time, right? 52 years of prosperity. Until, unfortunately, it says, this is all found in 1 Kings 26. If you want to read it for yourself, 1 Kings 26 talks about this season under King Uzziah. But then in 1 Kings 26, 16, it says this about how they've been blessed and that everything is great and they're very secure and stable. But it said in 1 Kings 26, 16, but after Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. His pride led to his downfall. What ends up happening? He's been king for 52 years. He's been hearing 52 years of people telling him how great he is and how wonderful he is and how powerful he is. And he gets it in his head and said, well, I don't really need to follow God's decrees, how he set it up. You know, only the priests can go inside the holiest of holies, the temple. Please, I'm the king. No one tells me I can't go into some place. So he barges into the holiest of holies. All the priests, there's like 80 priests there. They all said, no, don't go in there. Don't go in there. He said, please, I'm Uzziah. I'm the king. He storms back in there, gets stricken with leprosy, dies. So here we have it. So check this out. Here's where we have it. It's a stable time because Uzziah is the king. It's all good right now. I know it's craziness out there, but it's good here in Judah because we got Uzziah. And for the last 52 years, we've got Uzziah. And things are handled because Uzziah is on the throne. Uzziah obeys God, therefore God blesses. And so we are good as a nation. We are secure. We are stable. Everything is fine. Everything's under control. We get to live life and just kind of glide because Uzziah is on the throne. But now, the thing they put their hope and their security in, King Uzziah, he's gone. He disobeyed God, stricken dead with leprosy. And now we got an empty throne. The guy that all the surrounding nations were afraid of and they respected, they don't cross Uzziah, he's not there anymore. And we got the crazy Assyrians right north of us, warlike empire that's expanding, and they're right on our border. So now what? And here they are. So their world has been flipped upside down. And that's where we find, that's where we're going to see, that's what Isaiah is dealing with right now, all right? As the throne is empty, there is no king, craziness in the surrounding nations, what's going to happen now? And that's where we pick up Isaiah 6, starting in verse 1. So you can picture his mindset, right? What's going on in his head, the fear he's facing, the uncertainty. And here we are, verse 1. One of the coolest verses in the Bible, I think. In the year that King Uzziah died. Say, so now we understand what that means. It'd be tempting for us to read this and blow right over that. And the king, it's just like that's a year marker is all that is. No, there's a lot going on with that, all right? In the year that King Uzziah died, the one that they put their hope in, the security, all of that. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on the throne. I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." And at the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah turned his attention. He saw a vision of God, and it turned his attention from all this craziness to the unchanging God. And he saw him how he truly is. "I saw the Lord high and exalted, sitting up." He's big. He got the train of his robe filling the temple, and his eyes are on the unchanging God. Check out that scene. It talks about all these seraphim flying around, and they're singing out glory to worship to God. And they're singing in such a loud voice that the temple posts are shaking, right? It's impressive. And did you notice? The shaking isn't from God's voice. That's just the seraphim. That's just the angels that's making the thing shake. And they're crying out to each other, "Check out my God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." We say that same refrain all over the Bible. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. They call that the trihagion. You don't need to know that, but that's what they refer to that. Holy, holy, holy. That's a trihagion, and that's a common worship of God. When we see God in the Bible, there's seraphim singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And a lot of people think that holy, holy, holy refers to the Trinity of God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, holy, holy, holy. What, there's three of them? Is the Lord God, singular, Almighty. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. So they're worshiping God, the temple, the things are shaking, the posts, there's smoke, and this crazy scene. In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah sees the Lord God sitting on the throne. What is his response when he sees him? Verse 5. So he sees him, this is what he says. "Woe to me," I cried. "I am ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" See the us? Again, the Trinity. Right? There's three in one. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And I said, "Here am I. Send me." And he's ready to go. So here's what we're going to see today from this encounter where Isaiah has this encounter with God. We're going to see what happens when in the midst of a crazy time, when our world is flipped upside down and the things we base our security on are stripped away, during that time when we take our focus off of those things and instead put our eyes on the God on the throne, what happens in us? What happens when we do that? So we're going to see, when we see God, we will be, and we're going to see four things through Isaiah. That's also true for us as well. So when we see God, we will be, first one, reassured. Reassured. R-E-A-S-S-U-R-E-D. Reassured. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on the throne. Yes, the king is dead. What's going to happen now? The king is gone. The throne is empty. The throne is not empty. The throne is not empty. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on the throne. His train of his robe filled the temple. That's like how powerful you are, is how big your robe is. It would fill the temple. So powerful, all the angelic beings are singing his praise and shaking the pillars. This is the true God in the universe. Isaiah needed to be reassured in this time where everything had been taken away, his security had been shaken. He needed to be reassured that God is on the throne. And I think for us, we need to be reassured in the midst of the chaos of life that God is on the throne. So that when we get bad news from the doctor, we can be reassured that God's still on the throne. When we get an eviction notice, we can be sure that God is still on the throne. We get laid off from our job, God is still on the throne. No, we get whatever that relationship is struggling, and we don't know if it's going to work. God is still on the throne. Those things that we base our security in, they may get stripped away. They're going to crumble. But our source of true security remains, and that's our unchanging God on the throne. City Lights Church, I'm your pastor, and I love you. And that's the reason I say this. We need to base our security only on the God on the throne. Because if you set your security on those other things, you're setting yourself up for when that thing fails, when that thing crumbles. We fool ourselves into thinking our job brings security, or our money that brings security, or whatever, our health, we have security in our health or whatever, until that thing is stripped away. There's only one true source of security in our life, and that's the God on the throne. And we need to base our security only in that. And as long as that one God is on the throne, as long as we're serving him, it's all good. We can trust him. He's in control. I want to be on his side, right? He's the one on the throne. So that's the first thing. When we see God on the throne in the midst of the chaos of life, we are reassured that he's the one on the throne. It's not your career on the throne. It's not your job on the throne. It's not your money on the throne. It's not your body on the throne. It's not your pleasures on the throne. It's not that relationship on the throne. He's the one on the throne. And that's good news that we can count on, because that's not changing. He is a secure God. All right, so we can find security in that. So that's the first, that we are reassured that God is on the throne. Second, humbled. We are humbled. When we see God on the throne, we are humbled. Verse 5, when Isaiah saw him, he said, "Oh, wow, look at God. Check me out. Here's your servant. Check me out. What do you want me to do? I can handle anything. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to follow you. Let's do this." He said, oh, he fell. He's like, "Woe is me. I'm ruined." He says, "I got nothing to offer. Woe is me. Doomed am I. Destroyed am I. I'm done. Woe is me. I'm cursed. It's over. I'm ruined. I'm destroyed. I'm punished. I got nothing to offer." When faced with the holiness of God, Isaiah became dramatically aware of his sin. Like, before the holy God, it was like, oh my gosh, that is not me. And his sin, the areas he fell short, he became dramatically aware of that. It became so obvious to him. I mean, even the holy angels that are flying and powerful and singing, worshiping him in such a mighty way that shook the temples, notice they didn't even look at God. They had 6 wings, 2 for flying, 2 covered their feet, which was a sign of respect, and 2 covered their eyes, because they could not handle looking at God. So even they couldn't handle it. So when Isaiah was faced with God, when he saw God on the throne, it humbled him completely. He became so aware of his sin. And he says, "Woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips." Understand that what he said, his mouth, his voice, the things he said, unclean. Now think about that for a second. Do you guys know much about Isaiah? He's a prophet, one of the greatest prophets, probably the greatest prophet in the Bible. His job was to be the mouthpiece of God. Like, that was the best thing he got going, was his lips. Right? Not like that. His words, what he said, that was his thing. If anybody has ever walked this earth, Isaiah's probably got the holiest mouth of any of them. And he saw God, and he says, "Woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips." So even the best thing he got going wasn't like, "Hey God, check me out, you could use me, I have great control of my mouth, I'm wise, and I'll speak your words." He said, "Woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips." He was humbled. He was ruined before God. And for a lot of us, we think that, I got so much to offer God, and God can do all this, and I'm just going to be so great, and check me out, God, and all. Not when we really see God. The result is confession. It's repentance. It's an awareness of our sin. Some of us even base security in our own strengths, right? I know I'll be okay because I know I can get myself out of any problem. I know I'll be okay because I can talk my way out of anything, or I got my skill set. I got my degree, so therefore I know I can get a job, so that's my security. In front of God, there was no security in his own strengths. He says, woe is me, I'm ruined. No security in that. So we see that when he's faced with God, he's reassured that God's on the throne. He was humbled, aware of his sin. He was ruined. He says, I got nothing to offer. I'm a mess. He became aware of his sin. And this is really cool. The third thing, God didn't leave him in that position. Because third thing we see is he was restored. Restored. So reassured, God's on the throne. Humbled, busted up, broken. Restored, built back up. Verse 7, said a burning coal was taken from the altar and it touched his lips. And says, see, this has touched your lips, your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for. So Isaiah sees God, he says, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips, I'm ruined. God doesn't say, dang right, you're ruined, get out of here, squish. He doesn't do that. He also doesn't say, oh, don't, what are you talking about, Isaiah? You're doing pretty good. I'm proud of you. You're giving a good effort. It's all good. Just keep it up. You know, it's not bad. Don't worry about it. He doesn't do that either. He lets him be ruined, but then he restores him and builds him back up. So here we have Isaiah. He humbled himself when he saw his sin, and then God restored him. He realized he was broken, and then God fixed him up. But the vision of God totally devastated him. He was ruined. He was finished. But then God built him back up, pieced him together, and made him a new man. I worry that our biggest problem is that our vision of our picture of God doesn't include this part. Like we want to be restored and built up, but we forget the devastated part. I worry that we as humans, we're not as upset about our sin as God is. And we think we're pretty good. And the reason that a lot of us don't get built back up, that we haven't seen life change, is a lot of us think we're not that bad to begin with. We skip the humbled before God part, we just want him to build us up. We forget the devastated part, we just want him to patch us back together. And we think, well, I'm doing pretty good, I'm better than that guy, you know. I'm doing better than him, and so I'm doing pretty good. Or, you know, I got a lot to offer, and we think we're doing pretty good. But we need to let God convict us of our sin so that we acknowledge our sin and understand our sin to the point where we say, woe is me, I am ruined. I cannot go on. I got nothing to offer. I am devastated. I am ruined. And God says, yes, you are. But I'm the restorer. Put you back together. We need to understand that God, he loves us so much. Yes, we're ruined. When we understand God, when we see him and really get it, we understand our sin. We're aware of our sin. But God loves us so much, not to say, no, your sin's no problem. It is a problem, but he loves you so much, he fixes it. That's why Jesus went to the cross for you. This very reason. Because woe is you, you are unclean because of your sin. But God loved you enough that he restored you. That when Jesus went to the cross, he took your guilt away, just like Isaiah experienced when that coal touched his mouth. Your guilt is taken away when we put our faith in him, not because you got your act together and you deserve it. No, you're a mess. Woe is you. You're ruined. But God loved you enough that Jesus went to the cross, died on the cross for you, so that when we put our faith and trust in him, he removes that guilt. Your guilt's taken away. You don't have that anymore. And your sin has been atoned for. It's been paid off, made complete. It was broken, built. You've been built back up again. So it's just what Isaiah experienced. We experience the same thing in Jesus Christ. But we need to be willing to admit that we're ruined. I got nothing to offer. I'm broken. I need to be fixed. We need to be willing to confess our sin, acknowledge our sin, confess our sin, stop trying to play it off. Like, oh, I got this thing under control. I can stop if I wanted. I'm not that broken. I'm not that bad. No, you are. Not because I say so. I mean, who am I? I'm just a guy up here. Because God says so. And not like, yeah, you're so worthless. No, instead, you're worth so much that despite your sin, he sent his own son to die for you. We need to acknowledge that and be able to respond to that so he can build us back up. The gospel is real basic. ABCs of the gospel. You guys know the ABCs of the gospel? It goes like this. A, acknowledge the bad news. There's bad news. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. And because of our sin, we're under God's judgment, and we deserve his judgment. There's some bad news, so we got to acknowledge the bad news. B, believe the good news. The ABCs, A, acknowledge the bad news, believe. B, believe the good news, that Jesus Christ, because God loved us so much, Jesus died on the cross for us. That he went to the cross, took our sin, paid the penalty we deserved, and so therefore that penalty has been removed. So that's the good news. Acknowledge the bad news, A. B, believe the good news. And then C, come and follow Jesus. Come and follow Jesus. So after we believe the good news, it's not just about believing. True belief will result in coming and following Jesus, living for him going forward. So this is the ABCs. We need to acknowledge that so we can be restored. When we see God, we acknowledge our sin. We understand, I need a change. This is not right. I can't do it on my own. God can restore us. All right, final one. We got to close up here. Final one. Third was restored. Fourth, refocused. Fourth is refocused. We see Isaiah is refocused when he gets his vision of God. In verse 8, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? What does Isaiah say? Here am I, send me. This ruined, broken man who you have restored, send me. Now coming into this, his life had been turned upside down. The king is dead. Assyrians are right outside the door. Our life, we don't know what's gonna happen. This is craziness, oh my gosh. He got refocused. When he got this vision of God, his eyes got pulled off of his circumstances and instead got put on God. And when his eyes got put on God, it refocused him. So then it just, all it became was when he's refocused on God, it was all about God. When he saw that vision of God, it just be like, I want to follow and please you. What do you want me to do? Let's do it. So when he says, who's going to go? Who should we send? He's like, right here, Isaiah. He's probably still on the ground, but Isaiah, send me. The key to him obeying God or responding to God was his vision of God. And if in your life you have trouble saying yes to God, like obeying God and doing what he wants you to do, that's like something you just kind of struggle with, I would say you need to stop worrying about just obeying God, but really worry and put your focus on seeing God, experiencing God. Because when we truly see him, the obedience part comes natural. But I think a lot of us, we have our own focus on all these different things. So when it comes to obeying, we're just kind of like, I don't know, it's kind of hard, I'd rather not. But we need to have our focus on seeing God, understanding who he really is and his character. And then obedience just kind of comes natural. Because when we know that he's the God on the throne, it's like, shoot, that's it. I want to do what you want. You're the one on the throne. So we need to be refocused just like he was. All right. Isn't it crazy that whatever you put your focus on seems really big? You know, you got dealing with pain, right? And that pain is so obvious and so loud and always there, and we focus on the pain, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, right? Or the where am I going to live? This you know, I got this notice, and I don't know what to do. And these are very real things, right? I need a job, the bills are getting paid, and we focus on that thing. It's like, and this is natural. This isn't condemning. I'm just saying, I'm acknowledging what happens, right? For all of us. I do the same thing. Like, oh my gosh, this thing is so bad, I don't know what's gonna happen, and we focus on it, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger as we focus on it. What this is saying, what God did here is pulled his attention off of this is crazy, Assyrians are right next door, they're gonna attack us, our army's in disarray, we're our blessing's gone. He took their focus off of that and put his focus on him. And then it was like, all right, God, what are we doing next? And it changed everything. We need to get our focus off of the crazy circumstance, put it on God, and then let it sort out. You know that famous hymn? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full at his wonderful face. And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. We need to be reminded that God is on the throne. Put our focus on him. You know what's really cool about this whole passage? I'm wrapping up with this. We're getting close. What's cool about this passage in Isaiah, this picture of God on the throne, seraphim singing, all that, this is the exact same picture we get in Revelation chapter 4. Revelation, the end of time, when Armageddon happens, the end of it all, John has, the writer, has a picture, he has a vision of God. It's the same vision. And why I tell you that is what Isaiah saw almost 3,000 years ago is the same thing that's going to be happening in eternity at the end. You know what it is? It's God on the throne. Now, that's not changing. The thing that the way God was then that Isaiah saw him, is the same he is right now. And it's also the same as it's going to be at the very end of time. God's going to be on that throne. You're going to lose that job. That relationship might end. The money might be gone. But God's going to be on the throne. And so us, City Life Church, we need to keep our focus on that and be continually drawing our attention to God on the throne, so in the midst of the craziness, we can stay strong and stay secure. There is security in God that you're not going to find in others. God's not changing. He's the Alpha and the Omega. That's the A and Z in the old Greek, right? So he's the Alpha and the Omega, beginning and the end. No matter what happens, you can take that to the bank. So my encouragement to you this morning, base your security in the midst of all this craziness. And we all got it happening right now. We heard it during prayer time. There's craziness out there. There's craziness in here. It's just craziness. In the midst of all that, base our security on God and his unchanging love for you. So that's our closing question. And what have you based your security? And what have you based your security? Let's pray. God, I want to confess, I base my security in other things. And when those things get taken away, it's really hard. But God, I thank you for those times. I thank you for those times that you remind us of the uncertainty of the world, uncertainty of these things. And I want to thank you for how you refocus us to you. God, I confess that when things are easy and everything's handled and I'm feeling secure, I don't depend on you. So God, I'm thankful for the times, even though I would never choose them, I'm thankful for those insecure times where I'm feeling afraid and out there, because it refocuses me on you. Thank you for loving me enough to put me through those times, to put me right where I need to be, and that's before your throne. God, I pray that for all of us here, that they would know you in that way, that each one would be able to trust in you in the midst of the craziness. God, if there's any here that haven't repented or are still walking in sin, God, I pray you would do a work in their life. You would show yourself to be Lord over all things, especially over each of our actions. God, help us to all submit ourselves to you, and to submit to your lordship in our lives. So God, I pray for that work in all of us, so we could just have the be able to walk into the security of knowing that you're in control of all things. We love you, we thank you, and I thank you for just your consistency in my life and in each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.